You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. Thanks for joining me this morning for an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines today as I delve deep into a number of important issues facing all of us wherever you are in the free world. Here in America, we are facing some serious issues. The anarchist agenda, what you need to know about what's coming, what is being planned, beginning November 4th, the information that we have uncovered as the Northeast Intelligence Network at HomelandSecurityUS.com. I'm about ready to publish our findings now. As everything has been shared with various local law enforcement agencies in the applicable areas, we have proof, we have documentation, of course, that what is being planned is so serious. It is so critical to our security, our national security, and our personal safety that we must not understate what is being planned. Whether or not what is planned actually happens is beside the point. We cannot predict what will happen. I cannot tell you what will happen, but I can tell you what the desire is, what the plans are. From there, you have to make up your own minds. You have to, and this is not, there's no intent to frighten. This is to inform only. Because the mantra of my program is tomorrow's headlines today. I have been speaking about this. You go back and listen to various videos that I've done since January of this year. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the various left progressive anarchist groups have been coordinating their training and their deeds, intended deeds, with the Islamic terrorists, ISIS. I said this, I've been saying this since the beginning of this year. I've received a lot of flack for it. However, I'm on record, and as a matter of fact, I was on InfoWars back earlier this year stating this. This is what has been uncovered by our investigators, and this is critical right now to your personal security, your personal safety. Wherever you are in the West, it's taking place, whether it's in Europe or Australia or anywhere in the free world, this is the plan. Or this is the coordination. Do not underestimate what is being planned. Don't underestimate the level of coordination between the Islamic terrorists and the left-wing terrorists, the progressive terrorists, the communist terrorists. Both have similar ideologies. Both are operating in tandem with one another. As difficult as that might be to believe, that is what is taking place. Now, as usual, if you are a student of history, you'll understand that one group will reign supreme after the dust settles and it essentially exterminate the other group. And I'll leave it to you, the listener, in this case, to determine who would be on top, of course, in this case. Extremely important information. But first, before I get into that, more on the attempted takedown of our president, the presidency, and of course, all conservatives in this country of ours and across the globe. If you are politically, socially, morally conservative in the United States or wherever you are in the West, you have a big target on your back. Please understand this. Parallel concurrent with the anarchist agenda, you've got the legal apparatus, the intelligence community that is the actual essence of the shadow government, the deep state, that is attempting to take down President Donald Trump. Again, I've been speaking about this as well, even since Election Day, or since the since inauguration. These two issues cannot be separated. In other words, the anarchist plans by the anarchists, but by the Islamic element with the progressives, the left progressives, communists, that cannot be separated from the plan to take down President Donald Trump and to put a stop to his agenda. These are connected at the hip. So what I want to do, the first part of this program, is to discuss the legal aspect, or what is taking place with respect to the Robert Mueller investigation, the special counsel, how we got here. Of course, I've addressed this in previous programs, but understand the importance of this, because there will be a convergence of events that will be coming in, I don't know when, days, weeks, months, but a convergence of events where the takedown, the final throes, the final thrust of the takedown will reach its climax, if you will. With that, I've got four audio segments from four different sources. Actually, one is me talking about both of these parallel agendas, these two agendas working in tandem with one another. Again, the first one, the anarchist agenda, the blood on the streets, civil war kind of thing that's being planned. And at the same time, concurrent with that, and it's no accident, you've got this intelligence legal apparatus that is working to strike down our very constitutional republic, at the very heart of our constitutional republic, to take down the Donald Trump presidency. On one side, you've got the individuals, the groups, well-funded, well-coordinated, working in the streets, attacking us, attacking you and I, and anyone else who gets in the way. And they are attached at the hip with the intelligence apparatus that's working to take down Donald Trump and everyone around him, and conservatives as well. And that does include, I will say, that also includes the new honest media. Shows like this show, shows like InfoWars, shows like True News. Insert name there. It doesn't matter. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you like those shows. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The objective remains. So one of the first issues here I do want to discuss is the advancing the out of control special prosecutor and really the components of that particular group, the group of investigators, the group of attorneys, and what is propelling these individuals in this group and this special counsel. Investigating the investigators, if you will. And if I may say so, if you go back and listen to what I've been saying, with each passing day, my words, the information I've been providing to you on these broadcasts, or during these broadcasts, as well as any videotape, short videotape segments I've done, you're watching what I've said over the last 11 months be proven over and over and over again. And that's not to pat myself on the back as much as it is to say, look, I've been warning about this. I've been warning that this convergence of events is coming. We are at the precipice right now. And as I look through my notes here, you've got to look at not just the situation. You've got to look at all of the events taking place right now, not individually, not with blinders on, but in totality. And I've stressed this before. What we're seeing take place are not disparate events, but in a large amount of these cases, a related, well-coordinated effort, well-funded, to destroy this nation as we know it. There was a recent interview, Judicial Watch, the senior attorney there, Attorney James F. Peterson, talking about the deep state penetration. For example, the dossier, talking about the dossier, the 35-page dossier that was the basis, essentially, for the special counsel, Robert Mueller. It's interesting to see, in hindsight, with 12 months of hindsight, 11 months of hindsight perhaps, how everything has been joined together or how this played out with this specific dossier, with the Perkins Coie, the law firm of Obama, and the providing $1 million to Fusion GPS, and Fusion GPS, or the transfer of about $168,000 ultimately to Christopher Steele. It's reported that Christopher Steele, the British MI6 agent that created the dossier, was paid $168,000. And that dossier was, in fact, the catalyst for creating the special counsel. The information within that fake, debunked dossier used by James Clapper, the DNI at the time, and Obama stooge, a Hillary supporter, and James Comey, the same deal. That information was the basis, the dossier was the basis for FISA warrants, FISA court warrants, based on false information in the dossier. This And the John McCain being involved in this as well. John McCain going over to the UK, getting the dossier, providing that dossier to Comey. And, of course, that being leaked to BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed publishes the entire dossier. Soon, now we have this collaborative effort to take down Donald Trump after the inauguration. It began in December. Obviously, and then after the inauguration, it really all hell broke loose. So what we're seeing today is the blowback of the inauguration. And I keep going back to this because you cannot have an open society, this truth-telling in what is being planned for us. Please understand this. And please understand the operators, the actors, who is behind this. It's the intent to delegitimize, destabilize the Donald Trump presidency. And believe me, Hillary Clinton is foaming at the mouth, at the ready. Hey, you know what? They stole the election from me. I'm still relevant. As unconstitutional and as convoluted as that even sounds, I even want to laugh when I say it. But that's the mentality out there. It's a collaborative effort between the intelligence agencies, the Clintons, the DNC, and now, if you want to extend this, you've got the Soros-funded, and even in some cases, the Rhino-funded, the globalist-funded anarchists. Everything is becoming much clearer. The leaks coming from the intelligence community to undermine the Donald Trump presidency. We've spoken about this before, 125 leaks in 126 days. What was that all about? That's to create this chaos, the upcoming chaos. This is to lay the foundation. What we've seen to now has been to lay the foundation for the chaos that is coming very shortly. And the kickoff, according to all of the websites, according to the information we have developed as a group, that kickoff day is November 4th. It's not just limited to November 4th. Please understand this. That's just the day that has been selected to start this anarchy in the streets. And I will say this as well. The terrorist attack in New York City that is Muslim terrorist, ISIS, lone wolf. There's no such thing as a lone wolf, by the way. But that is a precursor to what is coming in this country. Please understand this. This is extremely serious. But first, I want to play a 5-minute, very important audio segment from Lou Dobbs talking with Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. Because in order to understand what's going to be happening in the streets, you've got to understand, in my view, what is happening inside the Beltway. And inside the Beltway, Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, they've been seeking information that relates to what the special counsel Robert Mueller is doing, Comey and such, what they've done, and they're hitting roadblocks, serious roadblocks, under the Sessions Department of Justice, because the deep state, the shadow government, remains in control in these areas. Donald Trump has not yet drained the swamp. The swamp is deep, and it's large, and it's heavily populated. Please take a listen to Lou Dobbs talking with Judicial Watch founder and head Tom Fitton. This is extremely important information that you're about to hear. Go ahead and roll clip one.
Well, so we've learned something new about Fusion GPS, and there's scant new that we are learning about this group. They seem to have a lot of people who want to protect their secrets. Well, it turns out that they paid an ex-British spy $168,000 for his work on the infamous, discredited, and debunked Trump dossier. The group, Fusion GPS, calls itself an opposition research group. They're all of that, plus a smear machine and a lot of other things. The law firm saying the money had been paid to former MI6 officer Christopher Steele, and it came for more than $1 million that GPS got from the Perkins Coie law firm representing the Obama campaign, Hillary Clinton, and the Democratic National Committee. So we know how little of the money was spent. We don't know how much money Fusion GPS was making. It was dirty work, so we suspect quite a bit. Joining us now, Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. I can't say enough what a great job Judicial Watch has done in encouraging government and ne'er-do-wells to enlarge the body of public knowledge. We appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you, Lou.
This is a peculiar, to say the least, deal. We find out how much Christopher Steele made to smear Donald Trump. And we don't have the records. We don't see anything. A judge declares we can't see it. I'm about as fed up with the way things are operating there as I can be. How about you?
I am, too. We've got a real crisis here in the sense that it's one thing to have Democratic lawyers or Fusion GPS lawyers protecting the dossier information, payments about it. It's another thing to have the FBI and Justice Department fighting to keep the public in the dark on this. I mean, we just checked the other day with the FBI. They've been telling us they can't confirm or deny whether the dossier even exists or not, or documents about the payments related to the dossier exist.
You mean the one that reportedly, there are reports that, that in point of fact, the FBI paid for part of it, that offered to reimburse expenses for it, and in fact may have used it for FISA warrants before federal judges. I mean, that's quite a statement to come from.
Well, that's true, and they just reportedly this week allowed members of the House, or at least their staff, to look at some of the documents. So why are they letting Congress look at the documents but not letting the American people get a look-see at some of these documents and telling Judicial Watch they can't confirm or deny they exist?
I think there I can't resist this. There may be a greater faith on the part of Fusion GPS that Congress will keep their secrets than they are with you at Judicial Watch. They're probably pretty afraid that you will share with the public. I mean, we've got a ridiculous situation in which we've got closed-door hearings and people telling us about national security, congressmen and senators. And it's a joke because it's clear that the thing that's broken here is the integrity of our committees in Congress, the integrity of our intelligence agencies. And I'm saying it out loud because there is every evidence of corruption across all of those agencies.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough, and it may even be legal, but however unpleasant for the Clinton gang to collude with the Russians to take down Donald Trump. But if the FBI, under the tutelage of Barack Obama's administration, his appointees, was also doing this, that is the scandal of this decade. That's the scandal of the last 50 years. If you have the FBI, CIA, Justice Department using this dossier, which is a political hit job put out by their Democratic allies to go after the incoming president or wannabe president in the case of when it was in the campaign. Boy, what a scandal that would be. That is why I think they don't want us to get access to the information, because they don't want to institutionally put themselves on the block here.
Well, they're on the block. The question is whether or not anyone in Congress, anyone in the Senate has the guts to actually pursue oversight over those agencies. To this point, I've seen no sign that any one of those agencies has the guts to oversee the activities and to truly find out what the FBI top officials have been doing and why.
Tom, let me ask Mr. Mueller to investigate whether the FBI and Justice Department colluded with the Russians to go after Trump and involve themselves in the election.
Okay, that was Lou Dobbs, Tom Fitton, talking about the obstruction right now, even under the Sessions Department of Justice, to get information. Did you hear you heard what they said, what Tom Fitton said. The FBI won't even though it's public knowledge about the dossier, for example, and it likely, well, this is implied, but again, James Peterson, the senior attorney for Judicial Watch, saying that the FBI really won't even acknowledge the fact that they've got this dossier, and the dossier being used as the basis for the FISA warrants, which is the bottom line here. All of this is the basis for the special prosecutor. It's all based on a lie. Why is this important in the context of the Antifa or the radical progressive left, the communists taking to the streets? Well, they're joined at the hip. Now, to understand a little bit further, the reason I play these audio clips, I go through hours upon hours upon hours of audio, of video, various groups, not just one, not just Fox, not just, I mean, just a variety of experts in their various fields, in order to bring you the distilled product, the end result of the best of the best information, to give you the most crystal clear picture of what's really taking place that I can. That's why I do this with respect to these audio clips, and that's why I ask that you not just listen to this program, but listen to it all the way through, because I do connect the dots, and I do provide, I think I do anyway, provide you with the context, because it's so necessary. The context of the time in which we live, the events that are taking place, is so important, as well as the identity of the players. And that is extremely critical. And speaking of that, this next audio clip, it is roughly six minutes long. It is Sean Hannity in this case, and it is talking about the Mueller special counsel runaway investigation. But in this audio clip is some significant information you may or may not have heard. about Mueller, about the team of investigators, and about the agenda, and about who they are working with, and obviously what the division that this is causing, and the ultimate takedown, which is the prize at the end, the light at the end of the tunnel, the prize is the takedown. Again, not just of Donald Trump. Don't think of it in that minuscule, limited way. It's the takedown of our constitutional republic, the United States of America, and changing the way you and I live. And if you are living elsewhere and you're listening to this in the UK or Australia or whatever country you may be listening from this from, Canada, you will be affected by this as well, perhaps exponentially worse than us in the United States, because, you know, it rolls downhill. And that's not to, believe me, I didn't say that to say that other countries are less than the United States. We're just acting presently, at the present moment, as kind of a speed bump, a roadblock to the agenda of the globalists. That's, in that context, is what I meant to say. So now listen to this six-minute audio clip. This is from Sean Hannity. I believe it was from yesterday. Was it from? Okay, yeah, it was from November 1st, and this is about the incestuous conflicts of interest. You may know this, but listen to it again, and listen to it carefully, I ask of you, because, again, the context in which the events we find ourselves in right now, this is so important, because this will lead now, after this, I will get into what's coming, the chaos in the streets. But first, again, we have to look at the foundational legal intelligence apparatus, what they're doing, the assault on our republic, and then the context of the fascists who call themselves anti-fascists will be much clearer. Go ahead and roll clip two.
There's a major crisis in this country. Equal justice under the law and everything that we hold sacred as a country is now under flagrant assault by an overreaching, highly unethical group of investigators, those led by the special counsel, Robert Mueller. The massive conflicts of interest coming from the special counsel, Robert Mueller and his team, this is beyond shocking. It is beyond disturbing. Now, the special counsel's investigation has become a partisan witch hunt that is now rotten to the core. This is the type of thing, frankly, sadly, you'd expect in a banana republic, not in the United States of America. And here's why. Now, just take a look at the side of your screen. Now, these are the political donations that key members of Mueller's team have made to Democrats over the years, including, look at that, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And when you add it all up, it's over $50,000. Now, you'd have to be stupid to think that investigators donated all of that money to people like Clinton and Obama, but they're going to be fair and unbiased in their investigation against Donald Trump and a Republican. Just imagine if the tables were turned and it was a Republican donors investigating Democrats. The left, the media in this country, they would be apoplectic, and they'd be calling for the special counsel to be shut down immediately. Isn't this the height of hypocrisy? Now, let's start with the special counsel, Robert Mueller himself. A lot of people have been saying sterling record, above reproach. Sadly, that's a lie. Mueller has glaring conflicts of interest. For example, as we've been telling you on this program, back in 2009, when he was the FBI director, the FBI uncovered a Russian bribery plot involving, let's see, money laundering and kickbacks and extortion and racketeering. Mueller was the head of the FBI. The FBI knew in 2009. They had an inside informant. They had tapes. They had documents. They had emails. And yet, as far as we know, Mueller did nothing to stop Vladimir Putin and the Russians from trying to corner 20% of America's uranium market, the foundational material to make nuclear weapons. That's scary. That would mean Mueller would be complicit in that huge, massive scandal. And by the way, that includes Barack Obama and also other key administration officials. And we know Bill and Hillary Clinton are up to their eyeballs in this. You can't ignore the fact that also Mueller is best buddies with the disgraced former FBI director, James Comey, who, by the way, in the end, could end up being a key witness in this investigation. Now, according to Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett, that could be a violation of two federal laws. Now, it's also a massive conflict of interest. And we can't forget that the day before Mueller was named special counsel, oh, yeah, he actually interviewed with President Trump. He wanted his FBI director job back. Now, because of that alone, Mueller should never have been appointed to lead this investigation because he didn't get the job. Then there's this guy, Andrew Weissmann. Pay close attention to his name. He is now Mueller's top investigator, at least one of them, in the Russian probe. Now, remember, he's the Obama-loving federal prosecutor. Oh, let's see. He donated over $4,000 to the former president and the DNC. Now, Weissmann also has a very deeply troubling history of using strong-arm prosecutorial tactics. Now, our colleague Greg Jarrett did some digging into Weissmann's past. Here's what he found. Back during the Enron accounting scandal, Weissmann was a hard-charging prosecutor on the task force that brought a controversial obstruction of justice case against the accounting firm. It was called Arthur Andersen that eventually put the company out of business, cost tens of thousands of people their jobs. Now, what Weissmann did was so egregious that in 2005, imagine this, the Supreme Court of the United States, how often do we hear of unanimous decisions? Well, they overturned Weissmann's conviction, a 9-0 unanimous ruling. But Weissmann's troubling behavior doesn't even end there. His criminalization of a business transaction between Enron and Merrill Lynch, well, that sent people to jail. That was overturned by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, critics have accused Weissmann of using intimidating tactics, intimidating witnesses, creating crimes that don't exist, and in one case in particular, actually withholding evidence that would have helped a defendant. Really? And just like Mueller and so many other Obama officials, Weissmann is also tied to the corrupt Uranium One deal and the ensuing cover-up. Weissmann ran the DOJ's fraud section during the Russian bribery scheme. And Greg Jarrett actually picked this up. All kudos to him that his name, Weissmann's name and his signature are actually on the bottom of the plea agreement signed by the Russian businessman involved in that case. Now, another name and signature on that document is now the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Another conflict. Remember, he's the one who appointed Robert Mueller as special counsel. Rosenstein seems also complicit in this Uranium One scandal because back then he helped oversee the investigation as a U.S. attorney. All of the key players involved in this are actually an embarrassment to the justice system. All of them have major conflicts. All of them, Mueller, Weissmann, Rosenstein, they should have recused themselves. How could they be capable of investigating themselves? This entire Russia investigation was supposed to be about so-called Russian collusion. But so far, no evidence. Zero, zip, nada. And here's something the media will never tell you because they are so corrupt. Now, if it was anyone else besides Mueller, Weissmann, Rosenstein and the rest of this corrupt cast of characters, they'd all be investigating the Clintons and the Clinton campaign and the DNC and, frankly, Obama. Except they can't because they're all compromised in investigating the Uranium One deal and other things. Now, because we now have incontrovertible evidence of all this wrongdoing. Now, here's why they will do nothing. Now, these people are all part of the D.C. judicial swamp. Notice that they're in one investigation one year, the next one the next year, the year after. Real investigations into the Clintons would expose all of them and their complicit behavior.
Okay, that was Sean Hannity outlining the Mueller investigation, the Mueller investigation, the special counsel investigation. And you may think, well, I knew all that. We've gone over this before. Why is this important now? All right, here is one of the keys, one of the connections, a huge dot, and perhaps you might not see this coming out of left field here. Part of where we're at right now. The groundwork was laid by none other than Eric Hampton Holder. That's Eric Holder, and didn't know his middle name was Hampton, but so you learned something today. But the 82nd Attorney General of the United States, serving from February 3rd, 2009 until April 27th of 2015, at which time he was replaced by Loretta Lynch. And remember, Holder was impeached. The reason I played or had played the sound clip from Sean Hannity, he outlined the depth, if you will, of the swamp, the Mueller investigation. Well, you have to go back one step further to really understand what's taking place. This is an outgrowth of Obama's agenda. When he appointed Eric Holder as the when Bill Clinton first appointed him as the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, and then he rose up through the ranks and was appointed U.S. Attorney General by Obama on February 3rd, 2009, he began setting the stage for what we're seeing today. It was the infiltration, the governmental infiltration that we're seeing. So understand that... I apologize. I was distracted here. Understand here that Holder and Obama worked together to create the playing field, the battlefield more appropriately, that we are seeing today. Now, remember, think back to Holder's actions as Attorney General. Remember the new Black Panther Party during the 2012 elections. Remember, just think back to the various things that Eric Holder had done. More importantly, after the end of the Clinton presidency, when Holder was in the Justice Department during the Clinton presidency, he left the Justice Department, and then he joined the Washington law firm of Covington and Burling. In 2004, he met up with Barack Obama at a dinner party. Again, this is a small world here. This dinner party was hosted by former White House aide Annie Walker, who was a niece of Clinton friend Vernon Jordan. But in the spring of 2007, right after launching his White House bid, Obama asked Holder to join his presidential campaign as a legal advisor and a strategist. Now, think about this. At that time, his law firm was representing 17 Islamic terrorists, Yemeni detainees, and one Pakistani national at Guantanamo. He was working on behalf of the a number of terrorist organizations like FALN, F-A-L-N. The alliance that was developed really with Obama focused on the terrorists, such as the FALN, which is an acronym for the Armed Forces of National Liberation, this violent Puerto Rican terrorist organization that was active in the United States from the mid-1970s through the early 1980s. That group, by the way, is a Marxist-Leninist group whose overriding mission at that time was to secure Puerto Rico's political independence from the United States. Now, think about this. Think beyond what you've been told. Think beyond the confines of just merely Mueller and Comey and that whole incestuous relationship grid in D.C. known as the swamp. You've got to factor in Holder, Obama, because they are still around. They are still providing the support for the resistance movement against Donald Trump. I'm trying to be as concise and rapid here as possible. Now, you've got to think about and go back in history and look at all of the issues that Holder was involved within the various well, a number of different issues, a number of very important hinge moments in history. Again, not the least of which was the New Black Panther movement that Holder refused to prosecute the armed New Black Panthers at the polling stations. But Holder has a very low regard for conservatives. As a matter of fact, at an American Constitution Society gathering back in 2004, Holder made a number of comments, including, and I'm going to quote these, "Conservatives have been defenders of the status quo, afraid of the future and content to allow to continue to exist all but the most blatant inequalities. Conservatives have made a mockery of the rule of law." Oh, really? Wow. "Conservatives are breathtaking in their arrogance. The hallmarks of the conservative agenda include social division, mindless tax cutting, and a defense posture that does not really make us safer. And this, the nation must be convinced that it is a progressive future that holds the greatest promise for equality." In other words, what he's saying is it's a communist collective agenda. Holder on gun rights himself in 1995 said, look, we don't, the American people should not own guns. All right, period. And it goes on and on. But the key fact here, look at Holder and Islamic terrorism. In 2004, Eric Hempton Holder filed an amicus brief on behalf of Al-Qaeda terrorist Jose Padilla. Remember Jose Padilla? He was the guy that was sent to the United States by Osama bin Laden and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to carry out a post-9/11 second wave of terrorist attacks. He wrote in favor of Jose Padilla. As a matter of fact, in that brief, he asserted that President Bush at the time lacked any constitutional authority to determine the parameters of the battlefield in the war on terror. What are we seeing today with the New York City terrorists? That same argument being used, but hold that. That's an aside. That's just kind of an interesting coincidence or not. But even worse, and this I suspect this this to be extremely important. Holder has called America a nation of cowards when it comes to racial issues. What are we seeing now with the evolution of Black Lives Matter? The immigration laws. On April 23rd, 2010, Jan Brewer, then the Republican governor of Arizona, signed into law a bill deputizing state police to check with federal authorities on the immigration status of any individuals who they stop for some other reason. Who stepped in to say, no, 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 you're not going to do it? Well, Holder's Justice Department filed suit against Arizona in an effort to prevent the immigration law from taking effect. And once more, on Election Day, I said 2012, on Election Day 2008, two members of the New Black Panther Party, Jerry Jackson and King Samir Shabazz, intimidated white voters with racial slurs and threats of violence at a Philadelphia polling station. And Holder refused to even entertain any kind of legal action against them. Now, and in fact, he released in 2010, Holder's Justice Department released the former Marxist terrorist Marilyn Buck from prison. She was serving an 80-year sentence that began in the 1980s. Buck had helped the Black Liberation Army and convicted cop killer Assata Shakur to escape from prison back in 1979, helped the BLA acquire weapons and ammunition, participated in the 1981 Brinks armored car robbery. The reason I'm bringing this up is you're seeing this relationship throughout Holder's life and career. Now it is 2017. Holder is out of office, yet he is still influential. And don't forget, Holder was part of the Fast and Furious criminal scandal. It was in the fall of 2011. where when controversy arose over Holder's role endorsing Fast and Furious, it was via the ATF at that time, an agency of the Justice Department. Now, in that specific initiative, the ATF sold some 2,500 guns, including 34 sniper rifles, and those having a lethal range of about an incredible lethal range, to straw purchasers in the United States who agreed to subsequently smuggle the guns into Mexico and then put them in the hands of drug cartel leaders and such, but they came back here. The political motivation behind the Fast and Furious is extremely important because the Obama regime knew that they had to find new ways, as a matter of fact, to justify restrictions on American gun owners, and they used this as the linchpin for those new initiatives. The reason I mention all of this, again, against the backdrop, you heard Lou Dobbs, Tom Fitton, under Sessions Department of Justice, being rebuffed. No, you can't have this. They don't exist. The records, no. And then you heard Sean Hannity saying, look, the Mueller the special counsel is just out of control and in fact just filled with Clinton / Obama supporters. Well, this is leading to and the groundwork was laid by, shall I say, Eric Holder, who was replaced by Loretta Lynch from April. Loretta Lynch was the 83rd Attorney General, and she served from April 27, 2015 through January 20th, 2017. And Loretta Lynch, the infamous tarmac meeting, put all of these together. Think bigger, widen the scope of your view, and you can see now where this in the context of this Mueller takedown of President Donald Trump, the various cogs in this wheel, this machine, including Eric Holder and others, the Obama holdovers, are also coordinating through their relationships developed and the evolution of the relationships developed over their years within the Justice Department and various law firms now, and representing terrorists now, are refining and assisting the anti-American, the Antifa people, the people on the ground. Just, I hope you can comprehend the enormity of this. And if you can't, it's my fault for failing to explain it properly, perhaps. But the bottom line here is concurrent with the Mueller special counsel takedown, attempted takedown of President Donald Trump, is this concurrent wave of anarchist activity that will be taking to the streets beginning in November 4th and onward, with the intention of not only taking out Donald Trump, but also causing the chaos on American streets, the bloodletting on American streets. That which leads me, and I have to move quickly here, this leads me to the fact that we have, and I've been working just 24/7 with investigators working on behalf of the Northeast Intelligence Network, the Hagman Report, to infiltrate these various groups. And we've done so. We've turned information over to local law enforcement because the federal law enforcement is doing nothing. Local law enforcement very concerned. Now I can say that the infiltration, our infiltration has been successful. Our covert operations have been successful. But here's the key. You've got Muslim terrorists in this country working side by side with the Antifa Black Lives Matter, that whole group, and it's been proven. I'm going to play one more, clip of America or One American News Network verifying everything I have been saying for the last 11 months. Please listen carefully to this. Go ahead and play clip 3. This is from One American News Network. Listen very carefully to this clip.
Continuing now with our other headlines, as two confidential FBI reports reveal several Antifa activists met with leaders of Al-Qaeda and ISIS in an effort to coordinate attacks against President Trump. One America's Christian Rose has the details.
An FBI investigation reveals Antifa activists met with Al-Qaeda and ISIS leaders to coordinate their attacks against President Trump. In his new book, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump, former New York Times editor Edward Klein refers to an FBI report saying the meetings between Antifa members and radical Islamic terrorist leaders took place at the G20 summit in Germany back in July. The author also says the FBI is keeping an eye on the deep state's ongoing work to dismantle the Trump presidency by using radical left violence to terrorize and demoralize the American public.
They want to have a wave of protests and followed by a wave of domestic terrorism in this country. They want to destabilize. They want to create a counteraction by the Trump administration. They're hoping for a Kent State type event.
Klein says FBI field officers found American radical left groups such as Antifa coordinate efforts with radical Islamic terrorists in order to stage attacks against law enforcement and civilians on U.S. soil. Meanwhile, Antifa is reportedly receiving training and funds from the deep state and its affiliates such as George Soros and the Clinton Foundation. Earlier this year, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said President Trump would face revenge from the deep state for attempts to drain the swamp of the Washington establishment.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
Klein says an FBI task force worked with German security agencies and Interpol to review the intelligence on how violent protests in Hamburg, Germany were organized and funded last July. Subsequently, the FBI determined three key leaders of a radical left group from Oakland, California, traveled to Hamburg to meet with a leader of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, as well as a leader of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. He was identified as an Egyptian-born male in charge of the terror group's finances and recruiting. Klein also says one of the Oakland left-wing radicals traveled to Syria to meet with ISIS in order to plan massive violent attacks in the U.S. These attacks would be disguised as progressive left counter-demonstrations against alleged racism and bigotry.
A whole wave of domestic terrorism. It'll primarily be left-wing terrorism, although there might be a little bit of right-wing reactive terrorism. Most of what we're going to see is going to be cellular, so it'll be leaderless resistance, small cells motivated politically by the George Soroses of the world.
Klein maintains his sources are concerned the deep state would allow ISIS and Al-Qaeda to establish their presence in the U.S. in an effort to get rid of President Trump. Christian Rose, One American News.
And there it is. There it is. Everything I've been saying now for the last 11 plus months, there it is. Prepare now for blood on the streets. And if that sounds like a hyper overstatement of the facts, please understand, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what they are planning, what they want to happen, and they want to engage us in the streets. And by the way, conservatives, Trump supporters, those people who are constitutionalists, those people who are in favor of our constitutional republic, you have targets on your back. We have targets on our back. Believe me, if you could see my inbox, the emails that I've been getting, if you could see what's taking place behind the scenes here, you would understand that the fight is already on. The bullets just haven't yet been flying, but they will, I do suspect. And that's not to frighten, that's to inform and make you aware. One last clip. I think I can fit this in here, right? Okay, yes, I got a nod. One last clip. This is from my appearance last month on InfoWars, Alex Jones, and I said the same thing. Please have a listen to this, and we'll wrap up this program. But again, this confirms pretty much everything I've been saying. Go ahead and roll clip four.
I have a toolbox of bullshit.
You need them?
I have on the border between just a regular rifle and an assault weapon and a sawed-off style shotgun.
If you go down to the military surplus store, the Navy surplus, yeah, or whatever, you can get a K-bar for $30-$40, and it's just a combat knife. It's a fixed blade, 5 inches or so, but it's just you strap it on your leg and you're good to go. I mean, this one's like tiny, so you have to really stab him.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Behind the scenes, a lot is going on. A lot of intel is coming in. If you just joined us, Antifa plans civil war to overthrow the government. That's on drudgereport.com today, right in the middle column. It's also on newswars.com. It's a Paul Joseph Watson article. We're going to get to that in a moment. You've got Steven Crowder's undercover folks getting video. You've got the people at Veritas getting these similar videos. You've got our camera crews getting these videos out in the open. They're saying this. We have a flood of Antifa saying they are preparing with weapons, knives, guns to kill conservatives, patriots, and white people en masse. And ladies and gentlemen, when you go look at these crowds or these videos, 90% of the people are white. It's a fact that it is weird social justice warrior, crazed, self-hating white people that are trying to ignite a race war in America. Now, here is Doug Hagmann on August 26th on this broadcast, a month ago plus, laying out his sources and the undercover audio and video they're getting. The full interview is an hour long. It's up on Infowars.com, but it should be added to Paul Joseph Watson's article because this is just more proof. So here is a clip of private investigator Doug Hagmann.
Briefly, for those just joining him, essentially we have a handful of investigators across the country, specific cities investigating these fascist groups. They've successfully done so in many cases. But the latest report early this morning, 4:10 Eastern time this morning, saying, look, this one particular meeting in San Francisco, so well organized, the tactics, the training being very professional, the age of people there range from late 60s, perhaps early 70s, all the way down to late teens. This is the resist fascism movement. That's what they're calling themselves, but it's actually a
fascist movement. And the report says it's a lot of professionals. These aren't just the average meth head.
Yeah, exactly. These are the people who are sending out the cannon fodder, the idiots you see in the street with the baseball or the bicycle helmets on and the baseball bats. I mean, those people are the useful idiots. It's the, hire a stooge for a day or two and go out there and take a few whacks. Okay, that's who those people are. These people are the planners. These people are the architects of the chaos that we're seeing.
The brains.
And yeah, exactly. However, they're bringing in these professionals to teach, as you said, the weapons, self-defense.
They're force multiplying a revolutionary group.
Yep. Yeah, and
so it goes on. He breaks it all down, the plans to use weapons. And now we have hours of video, so no one can say this is edited, of just private meetings on the streets, just pouring in. And you go out to these things, and they run over and scream, die, F you. They pour coffee on you. They have their kids doing it. This is what they're doing out in the open. Can you imagine the frothing, insane hate? And you think, well, so what if Tom Brokaw calls you a total racist? You know, nobody believes him. Yeah, 90% of people know that's bull. But there's a good 10% that literally think they are Captain America fighting Red Skull. In fact, more...
Okay, go ahead and stop right there. My friends, that is from my appearance last month, outlining what we have found, and of course now getting corroboration from not just InfoWars, and I've been dealing with them behind the scenes, coordinating, providing information. We've been sharing information. Ed Klein's book just came out the 30th of October, verifying everything I've been saying. The takeaway from this, two battlefronts, the Mueller legal takedown, or the Mueller out of control investigation, special counsel against Donald Trump that has many of the same individuals from Clinton and from Obama and even some Bush involved in that as well, working in tandem with the people on the streets, We are in a perilous situation. Please spread the information about this show to everyone you know. Share it on social networking. Please follow me on BTR. Click the follow button. May God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. More later.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.